This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Tell you what I'd rather do than go on a bike ride. I'd like to go out to Gulfport. Just hit balls out there with Dale Boggs, tweaking my swing. Beautiful weather, great place. It's the best driving range in St. Louis. Gulfport, Maryland Heights. A lot of space, quality balls, beautiful dogs, batting cages. Dale's a great teacher. Carol Boggs runs the place. If you're looking for a place to improve your game, you want a little peace, a little relaxation, you head on out to Gulfport in Maryland Heights. It's where my children spent part of their childhoods. This is where they learned the game of golf. If you're looking for a lesson, there's no better teacher than Dale Boggs, too. We appreciate them being one of our sponsors. Albert, no way, would have faded worse with cards since he would have had to play in the field. Best non-signing ever by the team. Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's welcome to the program one of my favorites from MLB.com, based in Chicago, the one and only Phil Rogers. Phil, good to be with you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Frank. Always good to be on your show.
How about Albert Pujols with a .290 on base percentage, yet with 95 RBIs? How in the heck does that happen, Phil?
You just don't take many walks. Javier Baez with the Cubs is a young guy that's sort of doing that, productive hitter, but then you look at the on-base percentage, it's not what you would expect it to be. I think, this is a guy that used to be 400-plus on-base percentage rolling out of bed. He's at toward the end of his career. Pitchers are attacking him, and he's, clearly doesn't have quite that same plate discipline, and it helps if you have Mike Trout hitting in front of you and Cole Calhoun, some speedy guys that get on base, do a good job. The top of that, Angels order is pretty darn good. So I think if you looked at the chances to drive in runs, runners in scoring position, he's got to be near the top of the league and getting the most opportunities.
Another St. Louis guy not performing in St. Louis is Max Scherzer. I was hoping that Max could win another Cy Young. But last night, not a great outing. Clayton Kershaw moves to 17-3. How do you look at that Cy Young race in the National League?
I think Kershaw missed the time with the back, which kind of opened the door for other guys. Scherzer is always on that short list for sure. It probably comes down to September, though, and he's not finishing that well. Kershaw hasn't really been finishing that well either. I don't know if it opens the door for somebody else to slip in there. I would look at Kershaw as a strong favorite once again.
Who do you think is going to win the MVP? Could Charlie Blackmon win it? You look at these stats, he's up there in so many different categories. It looks like the Rockies got a great chance to make the postseason. Is he the MVP of the National League?
And I wrote this earlier in the year. I like Blackmon a lot. I like his contributions a lot, but I don't think he would be the MVP. I think if you went to the Rockies, I think people are going to slide over to Nolan Arenado. And I think for sure, they're going to split the votes up for sure. Justin Turner with the Dodgers is a name that was that is worth mentioning. I mean, the Dodgers downturn has dropped all of the love for all things Dodgers. There was even talk maybe Cody Bellinger, who wasn't even up when the season started, could be a guy. And then you've got Giancarlo Stanton and Joey Votto on teams that aren't so relevant. Joey Votto probably your hitter of the year if. There is an award for that, the Henry Aaron Award, and I would think Votto would be in there. I hear a lot of talk about Votto, but when you look at as an MVP voter, I don't have a vote this year, but I've had them in the past. I really have a hard time taking a guy off a team that doesn't go to the postseason in this era when a third of the teams do go to the postseason. I would lean toward Nolan Arenado right now. I think he's probably the most complete player in the game. And the Arizona guys deserve some love, too. Mostly Paul Goldschmidt. But if you could be an MVP splitting your year between teams, J.D. Martinez has had as big of an impact to the National League as anybody.
Speaking of former Cardinals, too, what about Jason Hayward? All this talk in the offseason about him redoing his swing, and yet here we are almost finished. He's sitting there with 9 home runs, 49 RBIs, .259, batting average, and a .321 on base. I know he does a lot of things well, but, boy, with the money they're paying him, that is not a lot of bang for their buck, is it?
Yeah, no, and I think at the end of the year when you – break it down, he's not going to be a whole lot different than he was last year. I think, he got out of the chute a little bit better. April, May, I think he was better. But I don't know if he's fallen back into some of the same habits. I don't know exactly what, but, once again, he's not driving the ball. Early in the year, he was driving the ball, and now he's a little bit back to being the Otis Nixon-style slasher that you just hope he hits one hard between infielders. He still can pull the ball down in the right field corner, but by and large, you're just kind of hoping to get past him in the order to get to the next guy. And he is, he's as good as ever in right field, and he's a good base runner. But as a hitter, and I don't think it's all that surprising that he wasn't able to, get huge results with the work he put in, and I think you give him credit for putting the work in. I think if he would hit 18 home runs, I think the Cubs would feel better about it. I don't think they expected when they signed him. I think they knew they were getting an all-around complete player, which is that they want a team full of complete players, and they feel like Hayward would be that if he would just hit for a little bit more power. But he is. It's going to be a long contract, and it's going to be interesting. They did him a huge favor, though. I will say, when they went out and traded for Jose Quintana, they traded Eloy Jimenez, dynamic young right fielder who will probably get to the big leagues at some point next year with the White Sox and could be a real dynamo. And it was going to be interesting to see what they would do with Hayward if they had Eloy Jimenez pushing him from below. But right now, I think his window to remain their right fielder is a lot longer than it would have been if they still had Jimenez.
So I guess the Cubs last year thought, well, this was a one-year aberration with Hayward, and he's going to be fine. He'll be a good offensive player. That hasn't worked out. But I'm wondering if they're thinking the same thing about Kyle Schwarber and his .205 batting average. The difference is Schwarber's got 26 home runs, but what's the concern level for him being an elite offensive player again?
Well, if you go by playing time, I think there's a lot more concern from the Cubs about Schwarber than there is about Hayward. And it comes down to being a one-dimensional guy versus a complete player. Schwarber has been out of the lineup as much as in it recently. And it was, it started last week against Garrett. He's been sort of platoon. He hadn't been starting against left-handers. And then last week in Pittsburgh, they sat him against Garrett Cole. That was surprising to me. And then they came back over the weekend, played the Brewers, wound up getting swept. And at least two games that weekend, he was out of the lineup against Brewer right-handed starters. So I think internally, they're playing games they have to win right now, and they're writing a lot of lineups that don't have Schwarber in it. That sort of makes me think, they're going to make they're going to face a difficult decision with him this winter, and I don't think it's the no-brainer to hang on to him and to continue to develop with him as their left fielder as it would have been, if he had made it June 1st, July 1st. I think they've seen some things with Schwarber. He just hasn't had the same plate discipline, and maybe it is still just 1 year and you don't overreact to it, but I think they're asking hard questions about Kyle Schwarber.
Boy, it doesn't look good for Lance Lynn remaining a Cardinal. Do you think the Cubs will be the leading candidate in the Lance Lynn sweepstakes?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, they've certainly, with Lackey and Hayward, set that precedent. They're certainly going to have need for starting pitching. And that's the biggest thing. If you look at why the Cubs have struggled this year, to me it's similar to, I guess you would go back to 2014 and 15, 2015, Lackey's last year. The Cardinals won with unbelievably great starting pitching. Was that 20? That was 2015.
15.
Yeah. Well, we're not exactly historians here. But
yeah.
2015, the Cardinals had unbelievable starting pitching and great run prevention, and they won 3-2 all year long. The Cubs modeled that last year, and they gave up 3.4 runs per game. Their starting pitching ERA was under 3 when the next best in the league was the Nationals at 3.6. And this year they're giving up 4.4 runs a game. So one full run a game more, and it's made a huge difference in their standing. It's why they're going to, they need a solid 2.5 weeks left to get into the postseason. So they definitely have starting pitching needs, and I would think it's not a great market. This would be a good winner for Lance Lynn. You don't really time these things well. I think it's just kind of how it falls, but it's a fortuitous timing for Lance Lynn because I don't think there are going to be a lot of big-time arms on the market, and even got a guy like Yu Darvish has sort of underperformed all season, first in Texas and then with the Dodgers, sort of raised some questions about him. This will be a good winner to be, a free agent coming off a really good year like Lance Lynn.
Yeah, he hasn't been good. He's been great. And that's why, even though the Cardinals have all this young pitching, I don't know how in St. Louis, Missouri, where you're supported by 3.4 million fans and you're about to have a $1 billion television contract kick in with Fox Sports Midwest, how you can let one of your two best pitchers walk and possibly go to your arch rival 5 hours away.
It's a good question, but they were in there trying to sign Jason Hayward and probably got a break. They didn't sign him. They were in there trying to sign Albert Pujols, but they had a limit how far they would go, and it was clearly a good decision. They've always been really disciplined, and they've made a lot more good decisions than bad decisions. There are a lot of big players that are going to come up the next few years. The Ohtani thing is going to be really fascinating to watch this winter. I have really very little idea which way it's going to go, and I think that would be true for most people.
What do they view him as, a pitcher or a hitter long term?
Most teams, teams really, you'd view him as both.
Really?
But I think the value teams would put is as an ace. But he wants to be a two-way player, and I'm sure he's going to be a two-way player when he gets to the major leagues. I'm trying to figure out what's the right number of at-bats, and are you better served to go to the American League where you can DH, or are you better served to go to a National League team because the pitcher's already batting, and then you can get at-bats as like a platoon outfielder. He's a left-handed hitter, right-handed thrower, if you had, as a left-handed hitting outfielder, you get a ton of at-bats. So if you had a good right-handed hitting corner outfielder, you could platoon him. He's playing right field in Japan, but he could obviously play left field too. He's going to be able to pick his team, and he really wants to be a two-way player. So he's going to be a guy unlike any that we've seen. There has to have been one since Babe Ruth, but I don't know who it was.
Rick Ankiel, hit some home runs, but
to really be, it seems like Ankiel is more typical. You have guys that wind up having to pick one or the other, or the team kind of picks it for them. In my lifetime, I don't really remember a true, and if you do have them, it's more relief pitchers than starting pitchers, Brooks Kieschnick.
Oh, yeah.
There have been guys in small doses, but to have a guy be a starting pitcher and a primary position player on a team, I don't think there's been one, and I think that's what Ohtani is going to be, so that's fascinating. But then beyond him, you've got Manny Machado. Cardinals seem like that'd be a perfect team for a big hitter like that. If you're going to talk about using the spending power, I would think a dynamic position player who can hit for power would be at the top of the Cardinals' radar.
What do you think? You think they'll just move him before they lose him and not get anything in return? You think he'll be moved this offseason?
I sure would. I think you make an effort to sign a guy, and really these days, it used to be you could do that the year before free agency, and now talking to general managers, they say it's really, really hard to sign guys to extensions. And so by the time you get to 1 year out, it's probably too late. But they should be having or have already had talks, figure out if they can keep him. And if the answer is no, I think he would have a ton of value. And, you know, you're talking about 1 year for a guy versus potentially 18 years if you've got three really good prospects that you'd know you'd have for at least 6 years. So I think the math argues that, if you have a guy that's going to walk and a team that's not going to be on the short list to go to the World Series the next year, then I think you trade that guy.
Boy, if any team could do that, it would be the Cardinals with their plethora of young outfielders and pitching prospects. I mean, they could put the package together and you put him in the middle of the order, then you're – most of your work in the offseason is done.
Yeah, and, I would think, if you're, the Cubs have not had a great year this year, and they have a significant pitching question that they'll face when the year is over. But I think they've shown the last few years that they're going to be a team that's going to be a consistent 90-plus win team. And if you're competing against them, I think you are going to have to make some aggressive moves that maybe get you out of your comfort level a little bit. But, the flip side of that is, if you're the Cardinals, could you trade for Machado as a rental? Would you have to get one of those 72-hour windows and lock him up to a $300 million 10-year contract or, something that, it's going to be – there are going to be some crazy things. And you also hear Stanton may be on the market. I'm a huge skeptic. Put me down as there won't be a Giancarlo Stanton trade this winter. But there's going to be you're going to read about 8,000 stories about them because the Marlins have not the Marlins' new ownership group, from what they've been quietly saying, they're leaving that door open to go out and shop him. I just think that when you get into the big numbers like his contract, which goes over $30 million a year, I just think guys become sort of immovable pieces, and I would not see him being traded right out of the box by a new ownership group. Although, if you're trying to put together a winning team, it's always about multiple parts. It's not about one player. So it's probably the right thing for them to do would be to trade him. But I am a skeptic that they're going to be able to work through all of the obstacles to do that.
One final thought before I let you go. I think most people believe the Cubs are the defending world champions. They're up three games. They're going to hold on and win this thing. But the Cardinals are in a situation where four of their five starting pitchers in this rotation right now are pitching the absolute best they ever have. The Cubs pitching staff has not been great. How do you view this thing down the stretch? Would it surprise you if the Cardinals, with their seven games remaining with the Cubs, end up winning this thing?
I would say it would be surprising but not shocking. And I would throw the Brewers in there, too. I think that the Jimmy Nelson injury to the Brewers was a really bad one last week, which, by the way, makes me argue why the National League should have the designated hitter, but I'm getting away from your question. Yeah, the Cubs are vulnerable. I mean, this next 2.5 weeks with two series against the Cardinals, one left in Milwaukee, it's the biggest regular season test the Cubs have had in the Joe Madden era. But they were tested really hard last year in the postseason. all three rounds, and they answered those, and they won. You know, I think Anthony Rizzo is he's as steady as she goes. You know, he's a guy you'd want to lean on down the stretch. Same with Chris Bryant. But they have pitching questions. So I think they will be tested. And it would not be – I mean, it's certainly within the realm of possibility. How about a game 163 to settle that National League?
Oh, my goodness.
That'll be a dramatic finish.
Wow. Good stuff, Phil. We'll be listening and watching. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
All right. Phil Rogers, MLB.com from Chicago. Before we go to break, quick word about the Bomarito Automotive family. They sponsor the show content of this program. They sell over 30,000 cars a year, 20 new car locations, 10 pre-owned car locations. They think the best thing to do is just go to bomarito.com. Search their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars. There's a reason the Bomarito Automotive family is number one. They have one simple goal, one Bomarito car in everybody's garage or carport in the St. Louis area. Take a short time out, text and phone calls when we come back.